You guys ready for the Word of God this morning? Are you guys hungry for the Word of God? Man, I love the Word of God. What's that song we sing? It's like, your name is like honey on my lips. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I'm just so thankful for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for these men of God. We're gonna have three men of God sharing on this Father's Day. So you guys are gonna be richly blessed. I believe you're gonna be encouraged and blessed through all three of them as the Lord has put a word on each of their hearts. And it's my joy, I love all three of these men, and I get to introduce them this morning. So looking forward to this. But our first speaker's amazing wife is Brooke, and she's just been doing so much here around the church. This man has four children, Grayson, Levi, Penelope, and Rosie. He's got a full quiver and a big beard, a really big beard. I mean, he has a beard you can get lost in. You're like, I don't know where I'm at. Was that too much? But I do admire his beard. Yes, I'm going to be vulnerable before you all. I could never grow a beard like that. Forsythes were just bald. This is the most I can get. I haven't shaved here in who knows how long. This guy can grow a beard. But more than that, God has given him wisdom through life. He has shown himself through life. And what do I mean by that? Just yesterday, he was sharing, and I made the reference to the watermelon, and it blessed me because he had an encounter with Jesus while eating a watermelon. That's Travis. He is a guy, and I've known him now for several years, and we have had many conversations face to face, and he is reminding me of what I was just declaring earlier. Jesus is in the watermelons of life. He's in the big and the small and everywhere in between. So would you join me in honoring Mr. Travis Evenden?
Beautiful. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Matthew. Has anyone in the house heard of Charles Spurgeon? Great theologian. Charles Spurgeon said this, growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial. Amen. Can I get an amen? That one was free. Whew. Give me 1 second, would you please? I got absolutely wrecked during worship today. Did anyone else? Oh, thank you, Lord. Can we pray? Father, we thank you that every moment we walk in, you've created. That you saw it, you planned it, you put your love in it. And so I just pray right now, Lord, would you again speak? Would you prepare our hearts with the meditation of my heart, God, be pleasing to you this morning? And would we do everything for your glory? Amen. Well, good morning, church. Happy Father's Day. We're all the fathers in the room. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. It's a blessed day for you. I want to get started this morning by just diving into the Word, if we could. And there's a few scriptures I want to go over. The first one, John chapter 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." This is Jesus talking about what he can do, which is what the Father does. John 12, Jesus is talking again. In verse 49, Jesus says this, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." And even if we go into the Old Testament, Joshua 1:5, God's telling Joshua in that moment, he says, just as I was with Moses, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And in Psalms 139, David is crying out to God. And he says, there is nowhere I can go from you. Even if I make my bed in hell, you're there with me. Your hand is on me. You hold me in your right hand. And church, what I'm seeing this morning is this beautiful picture that the scriptures are painting of a God that is ever present, a Father that never leaves. And I know that for some of us, that's a difficult picture to understand. I know that even after reading the scriptures and believing the Bible, there's an experience we've had that is maybe different from what we've read. And I know that there's hundreds of stories in this room of what a father looks like, what a father sounds like. And I want to present to you today the idea that there's a Father God who wants to paint a picture for you, maybe that you've never seen before. There's an invitation this morning to a relationship with a God who never is going to be late. A God who's never going to be leaving you wanting more. You know, I've shared this before, but growing up, you know, as a child, I didn't have a biological father. He just never wanted to be there. And so throughout my life, I had many kind of father figures. And I just was, even this morning during worship, kind of thinking through those moments and the moments that were hard and the moments that were really good. And I just sat and wondered, God, why is it that you wanted to remind us over and over again that you'd never leave us? And I believe it's because he knew that we were all going to have experiences much different than what he had intended. He knew that there was going to be these moments of great joy with our fathers, and there was going to be these moments of great sadness and grief. And I was thinking this morning about my grandfather. And one of my favorite moments with him was just like riding in his truck. And he was just like telling me stories in this beat up old truck. And I remember the moment when we knew we were going to lose him in 2020. And, you know, when you're in grief, like you start just processing, right? You're just processing emotions and thoughts. And I remember one day I was alone and I just said, who am I going to call if I need something? And it was in that moment where I started realizing there's an invitation here to a God who is more than any human father could be. There's an invitation. We were created for something more than what we could even find on our own. And so when we look at these moments and they're so beautiful, it's like, I loved that moment riding in his truck. But there was even more that I needed that I didn't understand fully until I found it in God as my father. Amen. And I know for some of you, you probably had a great father. You probably had great experiences. You had many, you know, as I grew up, I had a stepfather, Tad, who I love dearly. And I remember the moment when we were sitting across from each other, and in my heart, I just told him, I said, I'm going to call you Dad from now on. And he accepted me as a son. And, you know, like, even in that, we have an invitation to a father. We have an invitation to a father who will love us, who will be ever present, who's everything we need, And you know, one day, we're gonna be the fathers. I am now the father. And I look at myself and I go, man, I am not everything that they're gonna need. I'm not everything my kids are gonna need. I'm doing the absolute best that I can do. And I work every day to be a great dad. But I need to be able to point them to the father. Because one day I'm gonna be gone, just like my granddad's gone. And they're not gonna be able to call me. But they can always reach the Father God. And so when Jesus is explaining through the scripture how he did what the Father did, what he saw the Father do, he said what he heard the Father say. In John 14, Jesus is describing the moment he's leaving. And he says to the disciples, he says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he says, the world will not see me, but you will. And you can imagine the disciples, they're always confused. And he starts explaining to them the way the Holy Spirit will move into them, and that the way that Jesus is in the Father and he's also in us. And the way that when we are in him, the Father loves us. And church, what I'm telling you this morning is that there is a relationship available. I mean, Pastor Matt preached half my sermon this morning. There's a relationship available this morning with a Father who loves you. With a Father who says, you could never do anything more to make me love you. He's just a good father. And so I think this morning there's two things that I really want to express to you. That the Holy Spirit, when you receive him, is your comforter, your guide, your connection with the Father. He's your opportunity to have those moments with God riding in the truck. And just getting to hear stories and secrets and moments that he loves you. And that's available. And until you've experienced it, it's hard to read about. It's hard to understand just from somebody else what they've experienced. When Pastor Matt's talking about the watermelon in it, last night I'm just eating my dinner and worshiping in my room and preparing for today, and God's just hitting me with his love, and I'm enjoying watermelon that he created, and I'm just like, thank you, Father. Like, I want each one of you to experience that. I want each one of you to find that place where you're recognizing the Father's love for you. And I understand that your experience doesn't always match your belief. And I understand that some of you have probably built up walls where the father hurt was, or the father is missing. And I want to encourage you that, number one, absolutely, there's breakthrough with the Holy Spirit. And number two, there are spiritual fathers in this house that want to walk with you, that want to guide you. I know it because I've experienced it myself. There's men in this church who absolutely want to guide you through this process. They want to step into that position of a father, to love you like a father would. Because I believe outside of the home, the nuclear family, the church is positioned perfectly to bring fatherhood back to our community. And so we need to be reaching out. Some of you, even today, I believe, feel that pull and that tug of needing more of the father. And I know that there are fathers in this house that want to pour out, that want to love people like their own children. I've seen it happen. And actually, I feel like this morning, if you're one of those people who you're like, I think in this season, God is calling me to be a father to the fatherless and a spiritual father. Would you just raise your hand this morning if you're saying, I know there are some in here that are committed to being fathers in the house. They're committed to reaching out. Thank you, Blake. I want to bless you. Thank you, Pastor Bertson. I want to bless you. And if you, in your heart, you're working through this of how could I be a spiritual father to somebody? I want to bless you. I want to bless you with wisdom beyond your age. And I want to bless you that you will be the father of many nations spiritually. That God is going to work through you to save many. And I believe that for many people in here. Because we were created to be in relationship with the Father. We were created to be loved fully. And once you experience it, you understand how beautiful that relationship is. So don't leave today if you need something more. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Wow. Raise your hand if your heart was just touched. Man, got me crying, Travis. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father. Okay, we have speaker number two. Man, this guy's a wild one. First, I want to introduce his family. So this guy's wife is amazing, Candace, and he has two wonderful children, Canyon, and this morning, I got the name right, and he helped me with it because it's a name I've never heard of anyone else, but it's Elora. Elora, his wonderful little daughter here. I love this guy's just boldness that I know he's speaking exactly what the Father wants him to speak and that there's the fear of God on him when he does it. You can feel it. Like, this man fears God and he wants to speak only, just as we read earlier, what the Father is saying. It's like, that's all of our call, but when this guy comes up to speak, I'm like, I feel like he lives that, and I feel convicted and challenged to do that more and to be more like Jesus. What are you saying, Father? I don't want to say anything else but what you're saying. So would you join me in honoring Blake Tillery? Yeah.
I'm going to try and keep it together, but yeah. Travis, your prayer was like the cake on top of everything else. Holy Spirit, help me. This week, when I was preparing, I just felt felt God showing to me the fragility of life. That we only have so much time. And we don't know what our day is when it's due. When we get to go be with our Father. Hmm. And I just felt like in the time that I would normally spend preparing for this message, I just felt God tell me that I need to spend that time with my kids. That I want to be the father that's there. That loves my children. That's present. And I don't want a day to be wasted. That I can spend growing them. I know Travis already asked all the fathers to raise their hand, but fathers, can I have you stand? Can I have you stand up? I want to honor these men. Yeah, fathers to be as well. If you're expecting. I want you to stay standing. And I want you to look at these men. Because there's not a man in here that wouldn't lay down his life for his family. Every one of these men prays passionately for his family, for his children, and loves violently like no one else can. And not a man in here can be replaced despite what society may say. A father cannot be mimicked, cannot be replaced. And many of these men may have some of their children looking on at them in the cloud of witnesses. And those children are cheering you on. And your kids that are still on earth, they look at you every day like you're Superman. And they want to be just like you. And they love you. Just as our Father God loves us. And so I bless you, men. I know that many of you, many of us, struggle with being able to communicate the love that we have. And so I declare that God's going to teach us and show us how to have clear communication, how to tell our families, how to tell our children that we love them, and how to show them that we're not going to let the opportunity slip by, but that we're going to choose to show that love, no matter how hard it is. No matter how much we've messed up in the past. But I challenge you, men. Don't let those opportunities to say I love you, to teach, to nurture, don't let them pass by. We don't know how much longer we have. And I'm not saying this to be morbid. It's just a reality. Anyway, thank you, men. I bless you. Bless you, bless you. Yeah. You know, before Thanksgiving in 2022, in November, my father had a heart attack, a very serious heart attack. And if anyone knows my dad, they'll know that he's a very healthy man, very strong, works hard, takes care of himself, but he's also a very empathetic man, and he very much cares about other people, and I believe a lot of it was just caused by stress. He's such a helper. But he was home alone when it happened, and he passed out, fell face down into his sandwich that he had just made, and he doesn't know how long he was out. But he came to, he called my mom. He said, hey, I think something's wrong. Like, I passed out. Anyway, so she didn't know how serious it was. She headed home, took him to the hospital. And while they were there at the hospital, my father's T levels were continuing to rise. But for some reason, all the machines were down at the hospital, so they weren't able to actually monitor him. The doctors thought that he sounded fine, thought he looked fine. So they were about to send him home. And then a nurse, who was actually one of my high school friends, just so happened to be the nurse on duty, comes running up with a clipboard. And he had just gotten the results. And he says, hey, you need to look at this, doctor. And so the doctor's walking into my dad's room. And he looks at the clipboard. And he's like, you know, I was going to send you home, but it... it looks like I shouldn't. And it was pretty crazy because my father got rushed to OHSU. He was supposed to go to another hospital, but all the hospitals were filled. There were 93 other patients with heart issues on a waiting list. And he wasn't supposed to be able to get seen. But luckily, that doctor had a friend at OHSU from medical school, and he called and he said, I don't care if you put him in the broom closet. This man needs to be seen right now. So my dad went to the hospital, and he had a 100% blockage in his, what they call the widowmaker artery. So it was completely clogged. And then his other arteries were at 80%. And he had no blood going to the front of his heart. And so his heart was actually starting to die. And the doctor said, I don't understand how you're not writhing in pain at the very least, or like at minimum, you should be dead. And he literally did not understand how my father was alive. And my father looked at me and said, my God proclaims life over me. And so my father got operated on, and praise God, it's a good story. He actually called me a few months ago and told me that he's now off like 99% of his medication. He's just taking a small dose, basically like a baby aspirin. And they don't know how, the doctors don't know how, but his heart is completely healed. The front of it is restored completely. So amazing news, amazing news, amazing testimony. Praise God. But all that to say is that in that moment, my father's life and his perspective and his priorities shifted. My father was a good father and he raised us well. But in that moment, he experienced the fragility of life and his priorities shifted. And every opportunity he has now, he wants to spend with his family. He wants to raise his kids and his grandkids in the ways of God. And he wants to share Jesus with those around him. He wants to share Jesus with his kids and wants to raise them in the ways of Jesus. And so my challenge, men, is that don't wait for that perspective, that shift. Don't wait for that moment when you experience how fragile life is, to change your priorities. It can be so hard coming home after work and just wanting to sit back and relax and feeling like your kids can be a burden at times. But in that moment, we get to choose what we invest in. What do we invest our time in? What do we prioritize? Ought we prioritize raising our children in the ways of God as Christ came to raise his children, us, in his ways? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 20:5-7, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Imagine what this next generation would look like and how much healing we could bring if we prioritized our families, if we prioritized our kids. The sins of our fathers and that generational baggage and bondage that we have, what if we made the stand, men, that that ends with us? That sin that's plagued our families, what if that ends with us? If we make the stand and we say, no longer is divorce going to plague my family. No longer is alcohol going to run in my family. Are drugs going to cripple my family? It ends with me, and I'm going to make the stand for my family, that they will walk in the freedom that I will find, and that I will guide them and lead them in that. Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of men, and the glory of children is their father. My wife, she likes country music. And it's funny because she's an LA girl from the city, and I grew up in the country. And it's not really in the country in Oregon, and it's not really my jam. I don't have the country music bug. But she made me listen to this album this week. It's Luke Combs. I think it's called like Father and Son or something like that. If you haven't heard it, I would actually recommend it. You won't hear that ever again. But there's a song in it. It's called Plant a Seed. And I'm just going to read the chorus really quick. It says, time ain't always your friend. It starts slow and gets faster towards the end. So fill up your heart with love, pass it on before you go, and thank the man upstairs that you were there to plant a seed and watch it grow. So I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for doors to open in relationships. I pray that you would restore fathers and children, that you would bring unity and relationship back, that only in the way that you can do, that you would restore the broken hurts and the wounds that children may have experienced with their fathers, and that fathers may have experienced with their children. I declare, God, that you would teach us to walk in your ways, to how to raise our children in you, to be models of Christ for our families. I pray, God, that we would embody you to our children, to our families, and that they would know you through us, that we would be mirrors of Jesus to them. And Jesus, I declare that there would be strength for these men. That after work, that they would still have the strength for their family. To have fun with them, to enjoy, to communicate with them, to tell them that they love them. I bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Last thing. I encourage you, men, call your children, talk to them. And if you may have broken relationship, it's your day where you get to choose if you're going to mend that. So write your future. Make that choice.
Man, don't even have words. Thank you. Before I, as a lead up to our last speaker, our original speaker, who Holy Spirit had picked out, wasn't able to be here, and so someone stepped in last minute. And I just a couple things in my heart. I want to read a verse. This is 1 Corinthians 4:15. Actually, I'm going to start at 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. And I just want to say, like, I've had so many teachers in my life. I got to go to a four-year college, Mark Jolovic, Stephen Patty, Damani Pothin, professors my wife and I still talk about, amazing teachers, and I love to teach, if you guys know, in VSSM Wednesday nights, and I am thankful for the teachers in my life because I believe that's one of my callings. But I'm most thankful for this man because over the last 10 years, through my sin, through my insecurity, through my successes, he has truly been a father. And the scripture says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And this is a man who takes responsibility and integrity. He doesn't just say it, he does it. He demonstrates what it's like in integrity to follow Christ. So would you join me in honoring Pastor Lynn Hardy?
I could catch it. Well, you already drank half of it, John.
Number two.
Thank you. I didn't stick it back in there. It's like, yeah, I kind of like need Matthew, Pastor Matthew. I need to tell a joke or something here. Caught me off guard a little bit. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for what has so far, that's transpired so far, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, and most of all, for your love for your family. We're glad that we get to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. We love you, we value everything about you, and we just ask that your presence be with us, in us, and through us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm ready. I'd like to talk just a little bit about my own dad for a few minutes, and then I do have some scriptures to share. But my dad, it's like, you know, I realized a lot of things. I remember when I was like 16 years old, thinking, oh, my dad. He never graduated from high school. So I thought I was smarter than him because I graduated from high school. One of those things, like, Dad, you really don't have that much to tell me. I have more education than you do. But I began to realize, you know, like the older I got, wow, my dad knew so much more than I thought he knew. It took till I was probably up into my 20s, 21, 22, and realized, wow, he's really a smart guy. I need to pay more attention. I need to listen more to my dad. It's like, and realized that as I was growing up, like, my dad was a, I had a little bit of fear of my dad, but it was a good, healthy fear. You know, it's like, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So when your dad becomes your example, and my dad very much was an amazing example in my life, I think, oh, the fear of the Lord. So the fear of my father. It's like, I love my dad, and I knew he wanted the best for me, but I also knew if I didn't live up to some certain expectations that there would be ramifications, consequences. Like, I didn't get grounded much. I didn't get things taken away from me, but I definitely ended up experiencing, let's just say, correction. I've shared with you before, like, the mother-son dance, because my mom was the one who was home all of the time, and my mom, when it was time to bring some correction for some bad behavior, she would take my left hand in her left hand, and with her right hand chase me around in a circle with a belt. And she would also share with me if there was not the right, if not proper resolution didn't come from that little dance that we had just done, now you wait until your father gets home. How many of you have heard, wait till your dad gets home? Wow. You know, that was all an older generation. So there are no youngsters out here, no teenagers or younger that have heard, wait until your dad gets home? Okay. All right, there's one. Huh. Well, maybe we need a little more fear of the Lord in this next generation. Roy, it was a healthy fear, and my father, I began to realize that there were things, you know, I didn't need to experience myself. It's like, if dad says, or mom says, don't put your hand on the top of the oven, it's like, why? I need to try that. It's like, no, you don't. There are things, there are consequences to disobedience. It's like, so as I began to realize, getting a little bit older, you know what, my dad gave instruction. And the instruction was really good instruction because it was for my benefit. Because he loved me, he was laying rules out for me and bringing instruction into my life and bringing correction into my life. And there was a reverence towards my father because he was the one who had the ultimate say. And I feel like, you know, that when that is what the structure of the family is like, it very much is a godly thing because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. When we end up developing a reverent fear for God, knowing that there will be correction and there will be consequences for disobedience, which basically is sin, right? So is there not an expectation for not only correction, but if we continue in disobedience, that there will be a rebuke and some kind of a whipping? Yes? So that's part of the fear, of the awe and the fear of an amazing, powerful, loving God. And if you love your children, you correct them, right? Those whom he loves, he will correct. I think of some of the correction. I'm not going to get into a bunch of details, but I remember, see, in that 16, 17, 18 years old, I did a lot of experimenting and kind of hiding from, my dad was a very busy man. We always had something to do after he was off work, and projects, like, oh, I hate those projects. But it's those projects that taught me to be who I am and taught me work ethic and taught me an understanding of what it takes to be successful in life. So, and I attribute that to my father. And as we, there's a time that what I call the friction period, where it's like my dad and I became partners. He watched me. He let me get just a little bit crazy and do some things that he watched a little bit. And then he came back around and said, I have enough time. I went to the University of Idaho for a very short time. I'd like to say, yes, and I graduated from the University of Idaho, but we have BSU guys here. So it's like, yeah, nah. I did go to the University of Idaho where I learned to be an entrepreneur. I bought my first kilo. I broke it down into baggies and came back to Caldwell and sold those baggies. You know, it's like, yeah. And the need for, you know, supply and demand. There was very little supply here at that time. So I brought the supply, met the demand. It's like, yeah, this works well. I told that to the president of the Mormon Church, And he said, and that's your business? I said, no. I met Jesus after that, but... So I did meet Jesus after that. Like I said, I strayed far, far from how I had been raised. And in that straying, in a time of living in my own apartment, because I was independent and I had enough money to do whatever I wanted to do, I had made a little on the side, like I'm talking about. But my father came to visit me in my house. There's a knock on the door, and I had already determined, and some of you have heard this story, so forgive me. I had already determined in my mind, this is not the way I was raised. This is not okay. This is not good. I'm going to change. I'm going to quit this stuff. No more of this drugs, alcohol stuff. I'm done. But my buddies from University of Idaho called. They wanted to come and visit me in my own apartment, living on my own. It's like, okay, come on down. So they came for a spring break. And I said, okay, one last party, and I'm done. One more, and I'm done. So the party is taking place. It's happening. The place is full of smoke, and there's bottles of all kinds of junk. I mean, you know, it was a party. And there's a knock on the door, and I'm thinking it's someone else that's coming to join my party. I opened the door. My mother and father were standing on that step, and I was like, can this be real? This must be a mirage. This is a bad dream. It's like, and the only thing that could come out of my mouth when I saw my dad and my mom looking at me with such disappointment as they're looking through that, like, whoa. And all I can say is, you don't understand. And my dad says, you're right. I don't understand. It's time for you to come home, son. It's like, yeah, you're right. That's what I needed, was for my father to step up and say, son, it's time for you to come home. So that's exactly what I did. Came home. And then had a variety of jobs, from dishwasher at a Chinese restaurant to detasseling corn and I would last for just a little while at each job and decide, nah, this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me. My dad watched all that and said, you know, there is so much more potential in you. We're going to start a business. I'm going to start a heating and air conditioning business and take you in as my partner. It's like, well, lucky you, Dad. I have all these skills now. I know how to weigh an ounce. I know how to... So we started. We started a business together in 1971. Yes, this was back in the 1900s. 1971. We started a business together, and my dad was teaching me something that he knew well, heating and air conditioning, the HVAC. And he was teaching me, and I stepped up and I learned, and I listened very carefully, and I received the correction that he brought as he's showing me and teaching me and instructing me. And I feel like that's exactly where we are with God in our lives. When we submit ourselves to him and we begin to listen to what he has for us, because he is the one who cares most for us, that wants to end up teaching us, that wants to speak into our lives, wants us to hear his voice and take the correction. As I did that, and this is where I call where we begin to enter the friction, the area of friction where iron sharpens iron, but it's a place where young people, like how many teenagers do we have out here? Teenagers or young adults that still live at home? Would you just raise your hands? All right, awesome. It's their, you know, the awe, respect, and a degree of fear for our Father, which is an awe, respect, and degree of fear for our Heavenly Father, which is the beginning of wisdom. It's also the beginning of wisdom in our homes, when the Father is in the place that the Father should be. Are you with me? It's like, okay. And when we come to that place as a young person and realize and recognize that my Father has incredible, and my mother, but my Father has wisdom to speak into my life, if you don't have that Father in your home, then you find that Father, somebody that you can look up to, that will father, that will mentor you, like one of those guys was, Travis, I think, was staying. Find that father. Because they are available. And we can glean from their wisdom and from their experience when we will submit ourselves to their leadership. Scripture says, I don't have time for a lot of scripture, but it says rebellion is as witchcraft. So when we think of ourselves, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. It's like, that's outright rebellion. See, when we have grown into a place of maturity because we have accepted the wisdom, both through our own experiences and the wisdom that our father figure, mom and dad, have shared with us, we begin maturing even in someone else's wisdom if we apply that wisdom to our lives. Right? So as we, as young adults, teenagers, whatever, begin to, when we act out in rebellion, that is exactly the opposite of godly. It is as witchcraft. We are operating in the wrong realm. How about an amen somewhere? Amen. So I'm speaking to teenagers and young adults who don't recognize. I mean, one of the Ten Commandments is honor your father and mother, that your days, that you'll be blessed and your days on this earth will be long. So we're supposed to, as ordered, honor our father and mother. So when, again, I say we begin as teenagers and young adults to mature because we find ourselves willing to submit to wisdom. Does this make sense? It's like, okay. So it's like, oh, no, absolutely not. When we do exactly the opposite, we're operating in rebellion, which is that same as witchcraft. Okay, so with my father, as we became partners, and my father gave me more responsibility and more responsibility and spoke into my life that, like, you know, you're doing a really good job here, and encouraged me rather than just correct. You can't get anything right. Are you stupid? It's like, that's not my dad at all. My father was an encourager, an incredible encourager. I didn't hear, like, I love you, but I heard a great deal of encouragement. I grew in confidence because of what my father spoke into my life and the correction that he brought into my life and how he showed me by example what to do. So that's what we're called to do, fathers, is be that amazing example to our children, that we speak words of encouragement into their lives, but we also have to realize that you are not your kids' best friend. When you're raising these children up, with these little ones up, these teenagers up, you're not called to be their best friend. You're called to be the authority in their life. This makes sense? I think we could go to a scripture right here, but and that's how I saw my father. But We're going to switch back to the scripture here in a little bit. That's how I saw my father. It's like, wow, wow, he is smart. Oh, he understands business. He knows how the money works. Just like, so the things that he taught me, I was grabbing onto. And then we got to a point where we get past this friction point, I call it. There's a where I am a man. I have a wife. I'm about to have a kid now. And it's just like, that's where, as a parent, we have to end up beginning to make concessions where we see our children as adults, successful adults, because we've spoken the positive things into our lives, and we have to begin to release a little bit and give them more authority, give them more slack. We have to encourage them through their mistakes. Whether they're teenagers or 21 or 22 or 24 years old, we have to encourage them through their mistakes, yet allowing them to make their mistakes and be a safe enough place that we can correct them, they can walk away with their dignity and feel good about the meeting that they have just had that brings correction into their lives. Oh, we should clap at that one. That was really good right there. Kind of sad that I have to ask for a hand clap there, but it makes me feel good anyway. So any. I mean, sometimes I've watched parents correct and correct in front of, and I just like want to turn my head because their children are so humiliated by what has just happened and that they've just experienced. It's just like, oh, they have to, you know, like crawl up from a curb to even be able to look around. It's like, any time that we bring correction into our children, and the older they get, I think this is always. When we bring correction into our children, they still need to walk away feeling loved, cherished, and with their dignity. Wow, thank you. I didn't even ask that time. So I'm going back to my father. We got to a place where we got through the difficult rub spot, and my dad not only was my partner, but he ended up becoming my best friend. So I hung out with my dad a lot because we had all kinds of things in common. He raised me. We liked motorcycles. We liked fast things. We liked so my dad became my best friend, and I think in our relationship with our children, how valuable and important that is. But I'm talking about fathers, dads, moms, everybody. Our relationship with God. In John 15:15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you slaves." It's like, okay, when your kids get to a point where you're not just the master over them, making sure that they're not making mistakes, but they can grow up to a point where they can actually become your friends because they know your heart, they know your mind, they know what you're thinking because you've imparted that into them. When they get to that place, it's like, oh, now my mom or my dad is my friend. Does this make sense? Like Pastor Matthew said, got a phone call this morning, so I'm just sharing mostly what's on my heart now rather than a great deal of... So when Blake was talking about how we have to prioritize our children, and I agree 100%, but I also say, you know what? It's not a matter of how much time you spend with your children. It's what that time looks like. If you're prioritizing that time with your children, that it is valuable time to both them and you. It's like, I can use myself as an example. I had a business to run with a massive 30 employees. Well, I thought that was kind of funny because I look at Brother Shoemaker here, who had like, and Rick LeBrun with 1,000, 1,200, 2,000, however many crazy employees. And it's like, so my business was small enough. I had like 30 employees. So I had the business to run. And then I would go home thinking about business. And the Lord started dealing with me on this many, many years ago. I thought, wow, I'm going home exhausted. I can't wait to get home, put my feet up in the recliner, kick back, and it's like, oh, would you get me a glass of water, and I'll be ready to eat in about 30 minutes, you know, just like, and nobody talk to me for a while so I can just unwind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Feel this kind of stuff. It's like, so on the ride home, I started feeling like I'm 90% used up. Now I have 10% to give to my family. How is this fair? How is this fair? It's like, I can't do that. I have to end up changing my way of that I do this, where I'm going to be able to go home and be refreshed and give to my children, to be able to pour into my children. But it has to be, I have to be really proactive and intentional in that. Otherwise, I mean, you can go home and be with your kids, and everybody can kick their feet up on a chair, pull their phones out, start checking the internet, it's like, and what does that do? Absolutely nothing. You know, you're spending time together, but is that quality time? Are you being intentional with that time? By the time I got around to my third and fourth kid, I definitely had some things figured out. So Christy Lynn, when I got around, I did it with all of them, actually. I coached my sons in baseball, in Little League baseball. Helped coach my other daughter with in volleyball and cheerleading. Yeah, I wasn't very good at that part, but yeah. With Christy Lynn, though, it's like, okay, I have learned. I was a mediocre athlete, but I learned and I studied a lot. And so when she came up, I coached her, helped her in volleyball, coached her in softball, coached her in basketball up until the high school took over kind of thing. And then we still did some club ball. But what I would do, I was a part of leadership in the church. I would then come home, and we would set an hour and a half, at least, sometimes between an hour and two, for the two of us, where I would throw her 200 pitches so she could practice her swing. When it was basketball time, we came to this gym down here, she would do 100 free throws. She would work on her form. She would work on her dribbling. It's just like we spent 5 nights a week, every week, doing that, unless there was something serious that, you know, that came up. But when I get home, it's like eat really quick, and then we're going to. So that's very intentional. So Christy Lynn, I had coached her. So as she started getting a little older and a little older, because I have created with her, in coaching her, bringing her up through this, she would glean the wisdom that I had to give to her, and she would even request. She would be asking me, Dad, what do you think? And she still does, as does her husband, sometimes. He just still hasn't figured out how smart I am. That's wow, had a. Oh, one of the things that I realized with my two sons, because I wanted them to be high achievers, I would give them encouragement. Oh, good job. Awesome. But if you, it's like, so they never felt like they were fully encouraged. Like, you know, great job. Both, whether it was in sports or racing snowmobiles or whatever, racing BMX bicycles. It's like, man, good job. But if you would blah, 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 it could be better. So never did they feel like they were ever good enough for Dad. Just like, oh, we can completely withhold blessing from our children. We can withhold blessing from our spouse by saying, oh, that was awesome. But anytime you throw in that but, it wipes out anything that you've said before that. Are you with me? Man, if you're going to encourage, if you're going to bless, don't throw a but in there. getting to the place where we can see that we know what the Father wants, we can hear the voice, and we're quick to respond, that's when Jesus calls us friends. No longer are you slaves, but you are friends. And we want to create that environment for our children so that by the time they're 16, 17, 18, 24 years old, they can come to us, they can humble themselves and ask us and walk away feeling blessed, not condemned, or not falling short of the mark. Let's stand together. Pastor Rudson, would you be willing to, I should have asked you in advance, but in season, out of season, could you come up and just speak a blessing over the fathers, over the men? Just like to hear, like everybody to see you. This man has been an incredible blessing in my life, somebody that I absolutely... somebody that's mentored, spoke into my life, that I absolutely look up to and has been an incredible encourager. And I would just like you to speak over the entire congregation and finish with the numbers blessing, but a blessing specifically over men and fathers, and then address the crowd, and then we're going to be done.
This is a special day, and it's an important and valuable thing to understand the significance, importance, and powerful influence of being a good father. I didn't have a father as a young fellow, but I had a number of men that fed into my life qualities, characteristics that helped me and guided me and directed me through my life. I want to encourage all of you men here today to observe opportunities when you can be a father, not just to your own children, but sometimes to a young fella or to a girl that needs a good man image, to speak words of encouragement, to give some careful guidance. And this world is in need today of strong men, wise men, godly men that can give good instructions. I would like to speak the blessing and the goodness of the Lord upon all of you men that are here this morning, that you will be quick to recognize and understand those moments of playing the role of a father or a strong man image into young people around you. I pray God will give you wisdom and understanding to navigate these times that are changing so many things in terms of family values, community values, moral issues, that God will give you wisdom, give you understanding. May your life be enriched with the blessings and the joy of seeing the fruit of your labors. May you be blessed to see the good things that come to your family because of the seed that you have planted. May you experience and know the joy that comes from seeing that your children walk with God. That's what the man of the Lord said in the scripture, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk with God. One of the greatest investments that you could ever make in your life is to invest well, wisely, and correctly into the lives of your children. and to young people that you have opportunity to influence around you. I want to commend so many of the men of this church that show such good character, wisdom, understanding, compassion, and a caring spirit. May the Lord bless you men with a father's heart, that you will be fruitful and be blessed in the efforts that God has planted through you. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord, for these men here today. I pray, Lord, that you would be the lifter of their head. I pray for any father here today who is brokenhearted and seeing what he seems to think is disappointment. I pray that you would lift his head and give guidance to help turn what looks a negative into a positive. I pray that you'll give these men wisdom, give them understanding, give them compassion, give them a kind spirit, but make them strong leaders. May your rich blessing be upon them. May you grant them wellness of body, keenness of mind, and strong in understanding. May they be fruitful in their labors of their hands, but also may they be fruitful in the labors of their integrity and teaching and guidance. I pray, Lord, your rich blessings upon each one of these men today. If there's someone here discouraged today, Jesus, I pray that you'd be the lifter of their head. May they walk out of here today with a smile, with a song, with a feeling of joy and gladness and thankfulness in their heart. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for those leaders in our church, Lord, that provide such good guidance and instruction. And I pray your rich blessings upon every family today. May every home be blessed with the peace, the joy, the provision, and the goodness of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's going to be an opportunity for something special. But I just want to share one more thing, and then I'm going to open up. We're going to end up calling the prayer team up. But, men, one of the things that is I figured out probably 20 years ago, and it's something that I share in marriage counseling a lot, used to, and that is, as men, we become the mirrors that our wives see themselves in. We become the mirrors that our daughters see themselves in. And even the mirror that when our sons look in a mirror, what they can see themselves in because of the words that come out of our mouth. We can belittle, we can make feel stupid, or we can encourage. So when you think of yourself as a mirror, that what they see when they come to you, what is reflected back to them. So I just encourage you, think of yourselves as a mirror that your wife and children can see themselves in. Got it? Awesome. Okay, now, this prayer team comes up. I invite the prayer team. And the prayer team will be around here. If you would like, and this is going to be a limited amount of time because Pastor Rutson is not going to stand up here for a long time. If you would like Pastor Rutson to lay hands on and bless you, if you would like a father's blessing, I encourage you, you could just walk by and he will speak a short blessing over you. He will lay a hand. Father, I just thank you again. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kindness, your direction, and the words that you have had for your congregation today, for the teaching and guidance. I pray now that you would bless each and every one, bless each father, mother, and child that is in this congregation this morning. And I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything, I encourage you to come. If you would like a father or a grandfather of this house, if you would like his blessing and his beautiful wife, I encourage you, come on up. Make it short and sweet. They will speak a short blessing over you. Have an amazing, incredible Father's Day, a wonderful week, and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.